By. Good day and welcome to the Center for American Progress Action Fund conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marshall Fitz, Director of Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks so much, Jessica, and thanks to everyone for getting on the call today to discuss immigration administrative options, course of action for the president, and Latino voters' views. As Jessica said, I'm Marshall Fitz. I'm the Director of Immigration Policy here at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and I am excited and grateful to be joined on today's call by three of the nation's leading experts on immigration policy and public opinion: Janet Murguia, who is the president of the National Council of La Raza; Frank Sherry, the executive director of America's Voice; and Gary Segura, a principal and founder of Latino Decisions. So the subject matter of today's call, as I'm sure you're all well aware, could not be more timely given the president's announcement yesterday that House Republicans have advised him that they will not move forward with immigration reform legislation this year. It was, of course, now over a year ago that the Senate passed historic immigration legislation with the votes of a bipartisan supermajority, and virtually all Democrats, plus a handful of Republicans, have signed on to very similar legislation in the House now. But instead of bringing a bill to the floor that, frankly, a huge majority of the American public supports, and it would pass if it got an up or down vote, Speaker Boehner has chosen to allow anti-immigrant extremists in his conference, like Steve King, Mo Brooks, and Louie Gohmert, to define the Republican Party's immigration platform. By putting the party's future electoral fate in the hands of his party's most extreme fringe, the speaker is effectively cementing his party's brand as anti-immigrant, anti-Latino, and anti-Asian American. Given that complete abdication of responsibility and the Republicans' decision to put short-term politics in front of the nation's best interests, the president boldly declared that he is beginning a new effort to fix as much of the immigration system as he can. Earlier today, CAP, the Center for American Progress, released a report outlining a menu of measures that the president could pursue to address the harshest consequences of more than a decade of congressional inaction and political paralysis on this issue. In short, the report concludes that the president has extremely broad discretionary authority to set enforcement priorities, which includes creating a process for low-priority individuals to register, undergo background checks, and request temporary protection from deportation. And in the face of gross negligence on the part of House Republicans, the responsibility now falls to the president to set those priorities and leverage his discretion in a way that furthers the nation's interest in safe and stable communities. What's more, authorizing millions of low-priority, unauthorized individuals to register and request temporary reprieve from removal would bring them off the economic sidelines, ensure that they and their employers are paying the full complement of taxes, and in the process, significantly enhance the nation's economic productivity. I'm happy to discuss both that legal authority and those administrative options in some more detail when we reach the Q&A portion of this call. But first, in conjunction with America's Voice, the Center for American Progress Action Fund commissioned polling by Latino Decisions to test Latino voter attitudes towards some of the possible steps that the president could take to mitigate really the harshest effects of the broken system. Gary Segura of Latino Decisions is going to therefore start us off by walking us through those findings. Janet Murguia is the leader of the largest Latino civil rights organization in the country. We'll follow Gary and help put those findings and attitudes of Latino voters in context. And finally, Frank Sherry, a decades-long leader in the immigration reform movement, one of the most astute analysts of the political dynamics around reform, is going to help share his insights and views on both this political moment and the longer-term implications of a pivot away from legislative reform towards executive action. With that probably too lengthy introduction, I'm going to turn it over to Gary. And Gary, do you have any instructions on people following along with the webinar or the PowerPoint?
It will look best if you go to full screen mode. And this PowerPoint in both the top lines and the cross tabs will be available on the website.
Great, thank you.
So, so first of all, I want to thank the Center for American Progress for the opportunity to do this study. We were excited by the opportunity, and we also think this is a critical issue for the constituency that we study most closely, And so I think the findings today are going to be quite indicative of the political dynamic that's out there. First, let's describe the study. The executive, a summary of kind of the points that we're going to make first is that the GOP has now clearly and fully abandoned any pretense of wanting to work in immigration reform. And that has ironically allowed policy preferences and the politics of the situation to become more aligned than they previously were. The president has many policy options at his disposal. So despite his announcement yesterday, I think it still remains unclear as to what sort of actions he may take when Secretary Johnson and Attorney General Holder have completed their review. The polling we did suggests that Democrats would benefit significantly from any presidential action, though it varies in which actions and how large the benefit would be. The legacy of the very controversial deportation policies under the Obama administration could be blunted by such action. On the other hand, if the administration were to fail to act, it could significantly depress Latino turnout in 2014 and beyond. So the research was conducted on behalf of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We interviewed 800 Latino registered voters, conducted in the middle 2 weeks of May of this year. The sample included landlines, cell phones, and online respondents. The nominal margin of error is plus or minus 3.4%, and all interviews were conducted in English or Spanish at the respondent's request at the point of first contact. So going back a little bit in history, we asked the respondents what they thought of the president's deferred action for DREAM-eligible youth that was undertaken in the 2012 period. We asked if that made them feel more or less favorable towards Democrats. 77% of all Latino registered voters said that it made them more favorable towards Democrats, and an outright majority, 50%, said it made them much more favorable to Democrats. Now, when we break that out into subgroups of this particular population, 86% of young voters, 18 to 34, were more favorable, 76% of Latinas, and even independents, who may be somewhat less enthused about the Democrats, still 72% felt more positively about the Democrats after the DACA action. 72% of English interviews, these are more assimilated, usually N-generation persons, and even 78% of self-identified evangelical Latinos felt more enthusiastic about the Democrats as a consequence of the deferred action policy. What would the impact of executive action today be? If, in light of the success of the DACA, could we reasonably assume that the executive action that the president undertakes this year would have a positive effect? So what we tried to do was evaluate how Democratic support might vary by who is included in any administrative action and whether or not that administrative action would include an option for work permits. So advancing, what if the president renewed DACA? 84% of Latino registered voters said that they would be somewhat or much more enthusiastic about Democrats if DACA was renewed for an extended period of time. 90% of youth, 86% of women, 87% of independents, 79% of English speakers. So again, broad-based enthusiasm for renewing DACA. What about the ending of deportations for parents of U.S.-born citizens? Enthusiasm for Democratic candidates in 2014 and beyond would be significantly enhanced. If parents were excused from deportation possibilities, 69% of our respondents thought that they would be more favorable, while only 30% would be less favorable. But most of that less favorable was because no work permits are included. When we asked people about suspending deportation of parents and offering them work permits, 87% of Latino registered voters said this would make them somewhat or much more favorable towards the Democratic Party, including 62% saying much more favorable. A second possibility would be to stop the deportation of people married to U.S. citizens. Again, if that did not include work permits, about 65% said that they would be more favorable, and 32% said less favorable, but most of that less favorable is because of the absence of work permits. When we asked to stop the deportation of spouses would be suspended and they would be offered work permits, 84% of Latino registered voters supported such an action, and 60% said that they would be much more enthusiastic about Democrats as a consequence of this action. The story is effectively the same for people who have been in the United States for more than 10 years. Again, 64% without work permits and 88% with work permits would be super excited, more enthusiastic about Democratic candidates in 2014 and beyond, if the executive branch took this form of action. Scoring significantly less favorably is any reform in the general category of prosecutorial discretion. So when we asked if we give immigration agents more discretion on who they do and don't deport, 64% of respondents said that this would make them more enthusiastic about Democrats. And while that number is good, it doesn't begin to compare with the 80% plus support for more aggressive action, including the suspension of deportation and the granting of work permits. A significant share of Latino registered voters have deep doubts about the effect of prosecutorial discretion. You'll recall in August of 2011, the Obama administration issued a memorandum giving prosecutors discretion over who was and who was not to be deported, with a focus on deporting individuals who had a criminal record, who were a net negative to the contributions to the society. We asked our respondents, in the 3 years since this has been in effect, do you think immigration and customs officials are doing a better job, still deporting many without a criminal record, or don't we know? 71% of our respondents believe that still many people without any criminal history are being deported. Only 17% believe that the executive branch, in this case, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, are doing a better job. So prosecutorial discretion does not win for the Democrats the sorts of advantages that other forms of executive action might. So when we summarize executive action impact across the many different options that are presented, both with and without work permits, the options are very clear that the presence of work permits and any deportation suspension is wildly popular. And in all instances, over two-thirds of Latino registered voters report being more enthusiastic about Democrats, even if some simple actions are taken without work permits associated. But those numbers climb between 80 and 90% if work permits are associated. By contrast, if the president decided not to sign any executive orders making any changes in immigration enforcement policy, enthusiasm for Democratic candidates would go down. 54% of our respondents said that they would be somewhat or much less enthused about supporting Democrats, and 57% said they would be somewhat or much less enthused about turning out to vote in the coming congressional election. So there is a potential downside for Democrats if they fail to act. The underlying message here has always been the same, that separating the Latino electorate from the immigrant population is a fool's undertaking, because those two populations are deeply intertwined with familial, neighborly, and work relations. 62% of Latino registered voters in our study know someone who is an undocumented immigrant, and 91% of those folks say that the people that they know are friends or family members, which is why even for U.S. citizens who are registered to vote, immigration remains a deeply personal issue. So some concluding thoughts. The Democrats stand to gain where the Republicans miss, in my view, a historic opportunity to begin the turnaround of their brand. The movement from legislation to executive action may have long-term political implications for both parties. There's broad support for a range of executive action measures, and temporary work permits that provide the most clear benefit for immigrants and the most clear benefit for Democrats in 2014. By contrast, Latino voters are a little dubious about prosecutorial discretion. And that's where I'll stop, Marshall.
Thanks so much, Gary. Terrific presentation, very interesting findings. So let's turn it over to Janet. And Janet, maybe Gary gave us the kind of rich political context for this, but maybe you can try to put some of the findings about those attitudes of Latino voters into a little bit of context based on your organization's experience working with them.
Sure. Thanks so much. Look, for Latinos, House Republican leadership has squandered the best opportunity our country has had in decades to fix our broken immigration system. And with that, the ability to restore the rule of law, our humanity, and their own national political viability by passing legislation. This is an incredibly huge missed opportunity. While the House GOP may be turning its back on members pushing for a lasting solution and on the American public that supports it, doing nothing is simply untenable. Reform is imperative, and at least some of it can be achieved by means other than legislation. House legislative inaction reaffirms the need for the president to intervene and bring relief to our community, but to the nation as a whole. The poll today makes resoundingly clear where Latino voters stand. The president should use his legitimate authority to expand prosecutorial discretion and create affirmatively avenues for parents and immigrants with longstanding ties to our country to come forward and stay in the U.S. on a lawful basis. The House leadership has turned their back on a solution. Now they own the problem. They have failed to act on legislation sorely needed for our immigration system to work. Then they turn around and rail against the system's dysfunction. Well, they cannot have it both ways. They rail against an alleged lack of enforcement, but yet our community has experienced an astonishing number of deportations unprecedented in our nation's history. So while the border refugee situation is in many ways unrelated to immigration policy, we cannot miss the point that if reform had advanced, our agencies would be better able to address emergencies more effectively rather than being forced to dealing with dysfunction on multiple fronts. For example, if we had had a legal immigration system in place for the last decade of Republican foot dragging, we would have a legal, safe, and orderly method for people to come to this country with visas. Instead, the black market is allowed to flourish. Smugglers have a license to print money and play on rumors and people's desperation, and our country is left to cope with the consequences. It would be easier to communicate with clarity who is eligible for relief and who isn't without the gross representations many are making about our border policy. By failing to make legality the norm in our immigration system, it is the opponents of reform that have encouraged misperceptions that have fueled the latest wave of refugees to our borders. So by refusing to act on immigration reform, the House Republican leadership has given the president no other choice but to take administrative action. And it will be the Latino community and that will be anxiously waiting to hear from President Obama. With the House of Republican leadership continue to obstruct progress on this issue, NCLR welcomes executive actions from the White House to ease the pain that our community is forced to endure every day. This is a chance for the president to act and to act boldly, and we hope that he will do so.
Thank you so much, Janet. Really appreciate your comments. Frank, let me turn it over to you and see what insights you can share with us about this really unique political moment that we're in.
Sure. Thanks to CAP Action Fund for sponsoring the polling, to Latino Decisions for carrying it out, and to my friend and colleague Janet McGeer for her terrific leadership. She's had a lot to do with the fact that we're now at this point. So, look, I thought yesterday was a huge day. I mean, I know it was a busy news day, so sometimes it's hard to sort of step back and say, wow, what does it mean? But I think it's a huge turning point. I mean, for the last year, we've all been doing everything possible, led by the president, but Democrats in the House and the Senate, advocacy groups, we've tried to do everything possible to set it up so Republicans would take advantage of this huge opportunity to get right on immigration reform and to get right with Latino voters and other fast-growing groups of new voters who make up the changing American electorate. And, you know, when Boehner told the president they're not going to do immigration reform this year, that really was obviously a terrible missed opportunity for them to do so. But it also signified that the president is no longer going to stand by and wait for them to get to yes, that he is going to criticize them for getting to no, and that he is going to get to yes. Obviously, immigration legislation that's balanced and comprehensive is better than any kind of executive actions. But in the absence of legislation, the president can do some very significant things that could make life demonstrably better for millions of people who are looking for relief from the fear of deportation and looking for work authorization so they can continue to work hard and sustain their family. So I think if and when the president steps up, announces executive action, we're hoping it's as early September, that it'll be a defining moment. I mean, the two parties already have a distinct brand difference with Latino voters, as Latino Decisions research has shown. In the last research released by Latino Decisions, it was clear that by a 5-to-1 margin, Latinos will blame Republicans for blocking immigration reform. I wouldn't be surprised if that number even goes up a little bit, even though I know Gary points out there's about a 20% sort of solid Republican cohort in among the Latino voters. But in any case, when the president acts, let's say he does, as the polling suggests, something big that provides work authorization for many for categories of people that are vulnerable in terms of their family relationships and have been here a long time, et cetera, it's really going to cement the differences between the two parties for a generation. I mean, one party is going to be the party that did everything it could to pass legislation and will continue fighting for legislation. And when the Republicans blocked legislation, stepped in to protect as many people as they could using existing authority. And the other party is the one that, basically says, you know, the message is clear. We don't like your kind and we don't want your people here. Pretty hard to win votes when that's your opening gambit to voters for whom immigration reform is a defining and a mobilizing issue. So I think this research paints the way forward for the president and the Democratic Party, that they have a huge advantage. Republicans have squandered an opportunity, ceded the initiative to the president. If he takes full advantage of it, I think it's going to be a big moment, not only in the history of immigration policy and politics, but in the history of American politics, in that I think it's going to be the two parties going in very different directions at a time of tremendous demographic change, and it may lead to one party being a majority party and the other party being a more regional and congressional party. So let me leave it there. Marshall, turn it back to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Frank. Thanks, actually, to all three of you. Jessica, I think we've reached the point where we want to open it up for Q&A. So can you instruct the participants on how to get in the queue for a question?
Absolutely. If you would like to ask a question today, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 on your touch-tone telephone, and we will pause for just a moment. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. And as a final reminder, that is star one if you would like to ask a question today. We'll now go to Chris Opfer from Bloomberg.
Hi, yeah, I just had a quick question about the report on the possible actions that the president could take here coming up in September. Wanted to get an idea of what you guys think is most likely the action that he will take.
Go ahead, Janet, hop in.
Well, I think, you know, the parameters I think are there in terms of anywhere from looking at what was in the Senate passed bill and thinking about the individuals that were being looked at and the different categories that were being looked at for the Senate passed bill, I think is one way to look at some parameters around this. The other is also to build on the last action by the president, and that was the deferred action for childhood arrivals, and to look at the folks who are connected to those individuals, like their parents. You know, this is something that I think is all within the mix, and we're just strongly encouraging the president to use the full extent of his authority to do as much as possible. But I think there are a number of folks that have cued off of the Senate passed bill and the various categories of folks that were eligible or would be eligible under that bill, and then also just looking at building on the DACA program.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is Marshall. I don't think we know. I don't think the president knows exactly what he's going to do. I agree with Janet that that there are a lot of different options available to the president. All of them, of course, as we've acknowledged, fall short of legislation, and that is, as Janet said earlier, Republicans now own that problem. And so for some of the changes that the system absolutely requires, we're going to have to continue to work towards legislation. But the president does have really broad discretionary authority to try to address what has been, frankly, a growing deportation crisis in this country, where we've had more than 2 million people deported over the last 5 years. And there are a number of steps that he can take to try to really ensure that individuals who are being targeted for enforcement and removed are individuals who actually pose some type of threat or harm to American communities, and to protect and allow other individuals to come forward, and whether it's undocumented parents, whether it's farm workers who are among the most exploited workers in this country, whether it's people who've been here for longer than 10 years, there are a lot of different ways to kind of slice the pie to try to stabilize our communities. But that is, those are decisions and I think assessments that they're going to have to be making over the next couple of months while this review is undertaken. But I don't think any of us can, from today, judge where that review may end up, except that we will continue to encourage the president to exercise the fullest extent of his authority to try to start the process of repairing the broken system. Jessica, do we have another?
We do have another question that comes from Neil Monroe from the Daily Caller.
Hey, thanks very much for doing this. It's almost three questions. So can you guys describe the president's demeanor during his meeting yesterday when he tries to explain, I'll do something, but not yet? Also, it looks like the president is worried about voter pushback. And he seems to be asking for the legal authority to quickly return migrants from non-contiguous countries. He seems to be wanting an actual legal change, and that looks like a shift on his part. And the third point is, if he goes a long way in granting work permits and rolling back more enforcement. Will that make it difficult to come up with even a stripped-down deal on immigration in 2015?
Frank, do you want to take a first crack at that, or?
Sure. Neil, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
The president's demeanor in the meeting was, I would describe it as resolute. He was just very matter-of-fact and said that, you know, he talked to John Boehner that reform wasn't going to be brought up for a vote this year, and that, well, Boehner and he spoke about the possibility of immigration reform coming up in the next Congress, that the president said he was going to keep his promise and move forward, do his job through executive action. And he didn't talk about the politics of it at all. He just talked about how they were looking, you know, that obviously legislative reform would be better, but that administrative or executive action, there were limits to it within with respect to his legal authority as the nation's chief executive, and he was checking. They were going to check carefully whatever they came up with, whatever the recommendations from the AG and the DHS secretary, very carefully reviewed by counsel, White House counsel, and that. But that he intended to, you know, be aggressive in his use of executive authority to do what he can within those restraints. So that was, from the point of view of the folks sitting in the room, I think very good news, because oftentimes in the past he would say things like he didn't think he had much authority and didn't think he could do much, and that it was up to Congress. And I think now that it's clear that Congress isn't going to act, he's pretty determined to do so, and wouldn't give a specific time, but certainly said the recommendations would be developed by the end of the summer, and said in his public yesterday that he wasn't going to wait long to act. So we're expecting action in a matter of weeks, and that's good news. And we think he will live up to his the indications he gave in the meeting that he's going to be aggressive. You know, is he getting tough on Central Americans? That was the part of the meeting that was quite spirited, contentious. We were arguing that people fleeing violence deserved full and fair proceedings, and that measures to send a deterrence message at the border with quick proceedings could undercut the opportunity to make a full and fair case for protection. And he made the case that as president, it was his job to make sure there was deterrence, and that kids didn't get on go with smugglers and get on trains and risk their lives. And he understood that our advocacy was coming from a good place, but that he was determined to get a handle on what was happening, so that kids wouldn't risk their lives and we wouldn't have 100,000 kids a year show up at the border. So that was a moment of tremendous tension and disagreement in the room, but he was no less resolute in stating the case that he was going to, his job was to enforce our laws at the border and to make sure that the flexibility that he was going to ask for could be used in a situation that was, you know, getting out of hand, and that his views, what's happening at the border, is getting out of hand. In terms of would executive action hurt the chances of immigration reform next Congress? Probably, and so what? Because honestly, many of us have concluded that Republicans who have just squandered the best opportunity they've had ever to get right on this issue, that the idea that during a presidential primary where you have candidates inevitably tacking to the right to go after slices of the conservative electorate in states like Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, that in fact the chances for immigration reform are somewhere between nil and slim. And, you know, maybe that'll change. But I think many of us have concluded that immigration reform legislation will only pass when the House of Representatives flips to Democratic control. And we're going to work towards that end. So we'd rather have millions of people protected now than another year of false hopes with Republicans saying they might act. that as far as I'm concerned, in my organization, the Republicans don't pass the laugh test when they say we might do it in the future. We'd be more interested in electing people who are committed to doing it.
Thanks.
Marshall, could I respond to the pushback question?
Absolutely.
The question of will administrative action get voter pushback on Obama? I have to tell you, I don't think I can envision a single political downside for Obama on this. And the reason I say that is that all of the polling is very clear that somewhere between 2/3 and 70% of the American population support comprehensive immigration reform with a path to citizenship. Now, the third that don't are not really voters that are or have ever been available to the president or Democrats in Congress anyway. So the question is, do people who heretofore were planning on sitting out the 2014 election or voting Democrat suddenly find themselves voting Republican because the president has opted to do administratively what the public wants legislatively to the tune of 70%? I think the answer is no. Now, the only potential downside would be the claim, which I'm sure you're going to hear in the Punditocracy, that Republican enthusiasm for going out and punishing the president will be greater. But that presupposes that there's not a lot of Republican enthusiasm for going out and punishing the president now. So I see no net negative effect here electorally for the president and some significant upside for the Democratic Party. And then finally, with respect to the thing that Frank just mentioned about what the prospects for reform are next year, if I survey the presidential field, I don't see a presidential candidate who is going to take the pro-immigration argument in the presidential primary. So even if Christie survives his legal problem or former Florida Governor Bush decides to enter the fray, I just don't see them distinguishing themselves from the rest of the field by being pro-immigrant. And all of the other likely candidates are purely anti-immigrant. So I just don't see much happening in 2015 after people start announcing their presidential candidacy.
Thanks so much, Gary. Great answers from you both. Operator, do we have another question in the queue?
We do, and that question comes from Xavier Torres from National Network for Immigrant and Refugees Rights.
Yes, hi. I have a question regarding the $2 billion plus that President Obama has requested to Congress. And I was wondering what your prediction would be in terms of how Congress will react to this request. Thank you.
I'll take it, and then we'll move on because we don't have that issue is critically important, but it's not really the subject of the call today. But the $2 billion that the president requested in his letter to Congress yesterday in a supplemental appropriation to deal with the burgeoning crisis at the border is something that is going to be, I think, a real struggle to get enacted, in large part because there just has been no appetite for basically any type of funding bill, much less a supplemental bill. It's possible that this is an issue where the two sides come together and kind of grin and bear it, but it will also depend on what types of conditions it comes with. And I'm fairly certain that a condition that that there will be more authority for DHS to expedite removals of kids who are fleeing violence is something that's not going to sit well with Senate Democrats, and it's going to be very difficult to get enacted. So, we'll see where it goes in the coming days and weeks, but I'm personally not confident that this is something that's going to end up becoming law. Operator, are there any other questions?
It appears there are no further questions.
Well, then let me conclude here by thanking our speakers and presenters. You were terrific as always. Thank you all for getting on the call today. And you can, of course, if you've got follow-on questions, You can get in touch with the speakers directly or contact me and I can put you in touch with them. That is, I guess, the end of the call today, but I want to thank you all and hope you all enjoy watching the World Cup this afternoon. Take care.